Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of the Film Stage Show, the official podcast of thefilmstage.com. I'm your host, Brian J. Rowan. With me today, we have our benevolent lord and master, Jordan Raup.
Hello, glad to be here.
We also have Bill Graham.
Hello, guys.
How is it going, gentlemen?
Just rocking out, you know, cracking some beers, playing some ping pong.
Thinking about Van Halen.
Just fucking hanging. That's what today is all about. Just being a couple of guys and hanging out. That is because today on this show, we will be talking about Everybody Wants Some. I think that's how it's pronounced. There are, after all, two exclamation points.
You have to, extra excitement.
That is the newest film by Richard Linklater.
Woo!
Now, I think we can all say that on this podcast, we are huge fans of the Linklater.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a swell guy. Before we get into that, let me tell the people at home that you can follow us on Twitter, email us, podcast@filmstage.com. You can find the comment section for each of these different episodes on filmstage.com. And you can now follow us on Facebook. Hooray! So, yeah, that's about that. We don't really have any feedback to go through from last week. That was when we talked about Midnight Special. A fantastic movie, which has not been far from my mind. But, yeah, that is about that. Gentlemen, anything else to talk about before we get into the newest film by Richard Linklater?
I don't think so. Let's do it.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, strap in. We're going back to 1980 to talk about Everybody Wants Some.
This ain't high school, man. You're at a new level here. You have not earned teammate status yet.
Who the hell are you? Oh, Jake Bradford.
And until you do, you're nobody.
Excuse me. Yeah? Bye.
I'd like to introduce you to the new guys.
Two rules.
No booze in this house.
Everybody Wants Some. It's a movie about bros, beers, babes, and baseball. That's really literally pretty
that,
much
that
it.
Should have been the tagline.
Their tagline isn't bad. Their tagline isn't bad. It's here for a good time, not for a long time.
No. Only about 3 days, in fact.
Yeah. This is the story of Jake, the freshman pitcher on a Texas University baseball team who arrives the weekend before class starts at his college, and spends the weekend bonding with his new teammates, chasing tail, jamming to music, getting drunk off his ass. That's pretty much it. This is a classic Linklater hangout film, so let's see what we thought about it. Jordan Raup, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. So, yeah, based on the synopsis, if this was, like, directed by Todd Phillips, perhaps, it would be... like a vastly different, like it's almost like a Project X style type thing you could think. But obviously with Richard Linklater taking it in, he had so much nuances and just character touches throughout the whole movie that it really, he makes it his own and just from the start. And so I really loved it. I know there's been a little bit of you know, pushback from some people who say that, you know, the female characters aren't developed at all. But I think the way what he's looking at through the lens of these guys, I think it's a very accurate portrayal, having, you know, gone to college and I wasn't a part of a baseball team. But some of these things rang true. And certainly in the first 3 days of college, you know, this isn't a movie about, you know, the college experience, really. It's about the transition, you know, going into college. So I think he really handles that well. Obviously all the period touches are amazing. The music, the clothing, the, you know, just everything really. So yeah, I had really, it's just a delightful time. I think it's just under 2 hours and I could have easily seen a 3 hour version of this and just as much fun. So, yeah, another great movie from Linklater, and thankfully he did. So I'm just happy he can like continue this trajectory. Thanks to Megan Ellison who funded the picture with Annapurna Picture. Yeah,
okay.
She co-funded. It was in danger of not getting made, and she came through and saved it. So
let's give it up for Megan Ellison.
Seriously,
she is the best.
Yes.
It's just amazing. I feel like after, you know, kind of his victory tour with Boyhood and being at the Oscars, he could have easily done a follow-up project. And he was even attached to do something bigger with the studio, and he decided to do this. So it's kind of – it's cool that he can just kind of put as much heart as he can into something like this. And it definitely shows from top to bottom. So, yeah, highly, highly recommended. And I think it's in my top five of the year so far. So,
all right. Bill Graham, what did you think?
Yeah, so I had heard kind of some negativity, and I had heard that not so much the pushback against the female characters, and certainly that's kind of come up more often now than earlier, but I heard that this was kind of a swing and a miss, and so I actually went in stupidly with kind of low expectations just from the general buzz. I don't know why. I don't know why that buzz is there, because this film is highly entertaining and enjoyable throughout. Like Jordan was saying, definitely I could have watched a 3-hour cut of this film and been completely fine. You really don't want to leave these characters, and that says a lot about the characters that Linklater specifically builds. You want to be around them. These are the kind of guys that, you know, you come across every now and then that you're just like, I want to follow this person around because something's going to happen. Like just things are going to happen. Good, bad, you know, whatever. And the nice thing about this film is that it keeps a very lighthearted touch throughout. Even there's a fight scene in the middle of the film. And even that is just a bunch of goofy, just, you know, bravado that ends up being absolutely nothing. You know, it's one of those kind of films that just by the end of it, you just have a smile on your face and pretty much smile throughout. The period pieces really, really are interesting. But one thing that I can specifically relate to is the fact that Linklater, so he went to school, he went to college playing baseball. This is real. This is true. He went to school for baseball, and he went to Huntsville. He went to Sam Houston State, and that's actually where I graduated from. And so there is a club in this film called the Jolly Fox, which is actually still a club over in Huntsville when I went to college there. So it was pretty eerie to see some of the touches he added to this. You know, even down to the casting of I think the not the main character, but the main big bad kind of, you know, badass ball player in this film, actually, like, he sent in clips of himself from ESPN. That's some of the little details and touches that Linklater adds to his films, where, you know, it's not just, oh, let's cast some dudes and then, you know, hopefully they can play baseball. No. You know, he actually went out and cast people that could actually play baseball and then picked from those people to actually be his actors and stuff like that. And I think there's a lot to be said about the female side of things. And I think it's an interesting discussion that we can have, and we can go into further detail later. But there's very few filmmakers actively making movies like this right now that are of any quality. This is definitely a high watermark for just kind of a hangout film. And I think what's interesting, the most interesting thing about this film is kind of the way that Linklater almost sets this up as a circus, where each day or every 30 to 35 minutes, or in this case about 20 minutes, it changes. Your setting completely changes, and you see how each of these college kids adapt to their surroundings, mainly for the goal of chasing tail, which is an interesting way of just kind of seeing young males kind of adapting to their environment to ultimately serve, you know, the same goal over and over and over.
It's pretty much like a National Geographic movie.
Yeah, it is.
About college freshmen.
Yeah, and I think the 80s touch, so I've read a couple of or listened to a couple of reviews about the film, and they say that it doesn't quite touch what's currently going on in universities like now. And I think that's complete and utter absurdity. I think this is the exact same stuff that happens all over universities, especially freshman year.
I thought you were talking about like safe spaces.
Yeah, that's what I thought you meant too.
No.
I gotta, like, going to college now sounds like a goddamn nightmare.
I don't know. I think I still wouldn't, like, you know, I'm 29. I think I would be tired by the second day. But, you know, you think about it and it's just like, no, this is the best of the college highlights, right? But I mean, there are weekends like this. There are opportunities to follow in these kind of footsteps that I think Linklater is smartly just, you know, touching upon, where all of a sudden your whole world just completely opens up. There's one African American player on the team, and nobody says anything about it. Nobody makes a big deal about it. Nobody does anything about it. And I think all of that stuff, it's just so clever the way that a team can be a microcosm of a lot of things in life, but also just looking at, you know, pushing away boundaries and stuff like that. That's kind of the college experience, especially the freshman, you know. So yeah, I think this is another home run for Linklater for sure.
Heyo.
How many puns can we fit in?
I don't know. You mean you got all the bases you can go through? If you're talking about the guys hooking up with girls,
sure.
I mean, there's, you know, it's bad. We could really get into it, but we're not. We're gonna try not to.
Yeah, Linklater didn't really, so we should not either.
We should respect his choice. I loved this movie. This movie was fantastic. Like, sitting there in that theater watching this movie was maybe one of the most purely joyful experiences that I've had in a while. It was just so fucking fun. Like,
another just, tagline, Brian.
I could write a million taglines for this movie. They're all amazing. There's a scene, like, he gets to the house, he sees this garden hose going through the whole house, and he, like, looks around it, and then he, like, walks outside, and then he comes back in, and, like, suddenly the kitchen roof buckles, and a bunch of guys are just screaming, like, go turn the water off. Like, what are you doing? Go turn the water off. And he has to do that. And then it's like this meeting of all these really strange people. And then they all go out and drink together. And there's just like a good 4 minutes of them all singing Rapper's Delight. And it's like, I've never seen a movie that so perfectly encapsulates what it's like in college to move in with a bunch of random ass people. And just like, immediately be bound together, and it's just like, all right, well, let's hang and let's just have a good time. I mean, I don't know what you guys were like in college. This movie was like a non-veteran watching Platoon, basically, for me. Like, I had so many flashbacks. There are so many people in this movie that I recognize. I was not on an official sports team at my school. I was on the crew team, and, you know, we were pretty close. We drank a lot, but like the people I lived with and the friends that I had, oh boy, guys. Like,
yeah. I almost wish Dan Mecca was on this podcast, because it actually might be good that he's not, because there was a lot of memories. You know, I went to college with him, so there was a lot of flashback memories as well, even though even not being on a team, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, just like that whole, like, I'm going to a party, and then, like, all the other guys will guilt you into letting them come to that party.
Oh, yeah.
And just, like, getting wasted and going and finding random people in your room, going through your shit. I mean, this was my life for 2 years, 4 years if you count the first years I was in college. Because after the sophomore year of college, I lived my junior and senior year in a house off campus.
Yeah, I think most people live off campus for junior and senior.
Well, what I was going to say is that that house actually was the home of a punk band. And so one of my first memories of meeting people in that house was I had put all my stuff down. I went out. I got drunk. I got home. I had to break into my room because someone had gone into my room not realizing that I'd moved in yet and passed out in my bed. And then as I was falling asleep, I could hear people having a conversation about doing cocaine with their parents. And then I was woken the next morning by a punk band practicing in my basement. And it took me a second to realize that the song that they were covering was the Pete and Pete theme. And so there's a scene in this film where they go to a punk show and they hear a punk cover of the theme to Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
And I was just like bouncing in my seat. I was like, this is so real.
Unintentionally autobiographical.
I can't handle this goddamn movie.
Experience watching it was, my tweet right after was, it's more proof how Linklater has mastered the inherent difficulty of pulling off something that feels effortlessly fun. And literally while I was watching, I was like, how is he doing this? Like, everything seems so...
You feel like it would be so easy to just plop a camera down and watch people having fun.
Yeah.
But things like Judd Apatow, like, those will drag.
Yeah.
But Linklater's like, airy and fun, but there's still so much happening. Like, they have some real conversations in this movie in the middle of all this other fun shit they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's just a miraculous, hilarious, beautiful film that's filled with real characters that are real people that have some, you know, bad habits and, you know, are kind of shitty to each other every now and then, but you still like want to hang out with them.
I was gonna say too, I think it honestly might be, if it even counts as this, my favorite sports movie of all time, because there is no single game being played, and I'm not a huge sports fan, so that was a delight, but yet you get like every ounce of the camaraderie, like the, you know, how, you know, everyone needing to like get along and stuff like that.
Sure.
And like what it takes to be a sports team and like the passion, even, and you get that through dialogue scenes with them sitting on a couch. And so I loved how he was able to inject that. And even though we do see there's like, maybe 15 minutes on a field, you know, doing scrimmaging and stuff like that. But, you get everything you need to know really for the, you know, in the span of just 2 hours, or in the span of the movie time of 3 days.
Yeah, because even that sports moment, you know, when they're on the field doing a quote-unquote voluntary practice, I mean, that's more about reaffirming the friendship and the camaraderie between these people than anything else.
Yeah.
And, this movie's incredible, and it's so generous to everyone in the film. Even a crazy character like the guy who continuously proclaims himself to be a raw dog. Like, it would be so easy for him to be a straight up villain, but they still manage to humanize him. Like, they work that shit out on the field, because at the end of the day, they are people who came here to pursue a certain thing. And I don't know, it's Linklater is incredible. I mean, he made a bunch of pretentious Gen Xers wandering around a European city having a banal conversation one of the most compelling and timeless love stories of all time.
This is interesting, because this is yet again Linklater basically being autobiographical in a very real sense, because I mean, even the Before Sunset trilogy, all of that was kind of based on an actual thing that happened to him, that even the middle of it, he was like, I'm probably going to end up writing about this.
This guy's fucking life is great.
I mean,
it is one of those things though, where like, if you think about it, like, let's say you have a really awesome 3 days in college, like, are you going to be able to somehow write that into a film that is at once an exploration of what college really is? Because I think that, do we do spoilers about a film like this?
I do want to talk about
it. Okay.
Yeah, I definitely want to jump into it.
I'll just say, we can get into spoilers pretty much now, probably. But before we do that, I just want to say, this is one of the few movies that gets that, like, one of the things you'll take away from college is nothing to do with classes. Like, the most important things you'll get out of a college experience are the social aspects of it. And the way this movie kind of drives that point home through its framing and its final shot is just amazing.
Yep. I agree.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Let's talk about some plot. Let's do some spoilers.
Oh yeah.
So what did you guys want to talk about? I don't know, because like it's just
you brought it up a bit, but that final shot is incredible. Like,
oh yeah, he's like finally in class, and then he just goes to sleep.
Yeah,
it's beautiful, because it is like there's so many movies where kids go to college and it's like, oh, I gotta like make this good grade and I gotta do this thing, and like they still make the classes seem important. And my God, are they not?
Like, well, it's especially the first day of class. The first day of class is always just a snooze fest because you're going over the syllabus. You're going over all the preparatory materials. It's just like, you could have emailed us, you asshole.
Well, not in the 80s.
Whatever. I mean, I still had to deal with that shit.
Yeah. The worst is when you get that teacher who like emails you and is like, hey, you better have the first four chapter read because we're going to start that the first day of class.
And you're like,
you're like, oh, that's fuck funny. You. No, that's not happening.
I'm not showing up then.
I really loved because talking about the one pushback I've seen a little bit with the female arc. I love how they handled Zoe Deutsch's character, Beverly. Yeah. How it's serious. Their relationship is just serious enough where they can it leads up to that great talk in the water. But then their last scene together, it's like, obviously he's probably not going to stay with a girl he met for 2 days, the first 2 days of college. But it's just enough of a like a small arc that it's like perfect for these 3 days.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if we're to believe that, you know, those two crazy kids are going to make it, because I would assume yeah. that their life goals alone would tear them apart. But they have found unexpectedly someone who totally gets what they're there for.
Yeah.
And well, it's a beautiful little relationship.
I think one thing that's interesting is obviously this film is very much from the male perspective, and most of the males in this film are actual but you know, they're baseball players for a college team, and it's interesting because I'm sure around Linklater's time and the Sam Houston State Bearcats, who Linklater, that's where he went, right? The baseball team year round is actually very, very well respected and well regarded in college baseball, and so it's interesting that, you know, he posits early on that the football team isn't any good. The basketball team isn't any good. So in most colleges, yes, those would be two top dogs. But at that college, no. We're top dogs. We run this roost. And it's interesting because so you have all these baseball players who are running wild, trying to, you know, hook up with any lady that they can find. And every now and then they do get rejected. And it's interesting because the women that they end up hooking up with are just as much chale tasting as they are.
There's a great line in this movie where they say something along the lines of, you know, we're in college, the girls are allowed to be as slutty as the guys now.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's no judgment when the guy says that. He's like, this is working in our goddamn favor, bro.
Well, and it's interesting because this happened. So this film is set in the 80s, and Linklater's talked about how this is kind of the last time that this kind of crazy atmosphere was kind of allowed a little bit, allowed to be as fun as it is, because this was before the AIDS epidemic. This was before a lot of other things had kind of start to hit. And so this was still kind of from around that kind of hippie 70s time. It was just on the tail end of it where, you know, I mean, obviously the drinking, they didn't you never see them actually buy any beer. But I mean, it seems pretty obvious that, you know,
they don't need to buy it. They get it for free.
They're or that. Yeah. But I mean, it's obviously, you know, it's at 18 years old at this point, you know. Yeah. So this was before the drinking age had been upped. And so there's just this kind of atmosphere of just free living and stuff like that's really interesting. But yeah.
Glorious freedom of college.
I think the single shot that makes me kind of like, I mean, obviously I'm a male, so I would love to get a female's perspective. But the single shot where they're at the first club and like the five girls that they see like are coming over to them, and they like both embrace each other, like they all miss each other from the summer and things like that. Like it's not a movie where it's like a Todd Phillips movie, you could say, where there's, or like a party. I just keep bringing him up, I'm sorry. But where it's like creepily, you know, trying to creep on women and getting rejected and things like that. There is a little bit of like that rejection, but it's done in the funny way. And everything, that first shot of when they first meet, you know, the group of women is like everything you need to see to kind of convince you what Linklater is trying to do. And even the scene where they're getting rejected at first in the parking lot is hilarious, because they are being, you know, they're not doing it in a setting that's very mutual.
Sure. Yeah.
They're literally moving in. And
it's really strange. I mean, you know, you see a movie like this and they get rejected in the parking lot and they drive off and one of the guys is like, man, she was a bitch. And it's like, but they're not like actually mad. Like, I don't know if it's a cultural thing, if something's happened recently, but like the stories of like actually angry men who are like getting rebuffed by women and then furious about it, like there's just none of that in this film. And it's strange, because I don't remember being in college and being around people who felt that fury either, because there was this common sense of, you know, we're all here to have fun and it's a party, and you know, if you don't want to be part of that, that's fine, there are other people around. I just, like, it's a very strange thing to see this movie where the dynamics between men and women are so kind of blatantly focused on sex, and yet there's a basic lack of tension.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't know what the hell happened.
It's almost like a light switch in kind of, you know, this idealistic world that Linklater has created. Either it's going to happen, right? You turn it on, or it's not going to happen. You turn it off. And that's pretty much the end of the discussion in this film throughout. You don't ever see anybody get drunk to go, you know, get drunk to go do something. They're either going to go do that, and they're going to get drunk along the way, or right, they're not going to do it, and they're going to get drunk along the way.
Well, there is just basically, you could just say, they're going to get drunk. But yes, sure, everyone has a real sense of agency in this film. Like, no one has to be coerced into anything. Like, everyone's just, you know, they're just down for a good time. Like, they show up at that house with the punk rocker, and everyone's like a little bit of trepidation, but they're totally down for it.
Yeah, I love that, because they're even making fun of one of their teammates who didn't really like dress down for the occasion. Like he's still in like tight I don't know, he's wearing like corduroy and like a button down t-shirt, and like they just clothing. Look at him and they're just like, what are you doing, man?
And
you're
I
not going to fit
scene,
in.
Seen how they like charge into the mosh pit, and there's one guy who goes too crazy and he just gets shoved out of the mosh pit.
That's what a goddamn
mosh pit's all about. It's this weird self-regulating organism of violence.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can we talk about like the one twist, you could say, in the movie with Wyatt Russell's character?
Yeah.
I loved it. I love that. I mean, first the scene at the Twilight Zone, kind of getting high scene, is just pitch perfect.
Yeah. Oh my god. He is like a perfect stoner.
Well, but one thing I love is that when he does get busted, the teammates all have kind of a conversation, and it's a weird conversation about it, because some of them are like, what an idiot, like what a doofus, like this dude, you know, obviously didn't belong here. And a couple of the other teammates are like, no, like there's nothing wrong with like what he did, like, you know,
because they get it, man.
And you know, they're like, but so what, like he still was cool, like he didn't do anything wrong, you know, not really really wrong, you know, it was probably illegal, but
yeah, because we find out that his character is fucking 30 years old.
Yeah,
which of the characters in this movie look particularly young.
Yeah, I was gonna say the one guy, the mustache guy, who
the guy who like can't grow a mustache.
Well, no, the one.
You're talking about the crazy guy. Handlebar mustache.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He looks like he's 40 years old.
Yeah.
No, but like, he looks pretty old.
I loved, I mean, like, well, I'm so glad we have Bill here, resident mustache expert, because some of these mustaches were crazy.
Well, it's funny because I was listening to a podcast and they were saying that they were looking through the IMDb page trying to figure out who was who, and they said they couldn't recognize anybody because nobody had
shaved. Oh yeah, I know. I had that exact experience after seeing the movie. I'm like, where do I know these people from? And there was none really.
It's funny, McReynolds, Taylor Hoechlin.
Yeah,
he's the kid from Road to Perdition.
Oh,
well, I mean, I wouldn't know that.
I would never have guessed that. In the movie, I kept referring to him as not Billy Crudup. God.
Wyatt Russell, he's the only one I really recognize from 22 Jump Street as like Jonah Hill's best friend. Or Channing Tatum's best friend.
Yeah.
But that's the only one.
I remember that. That's why I recognize him.
But yeah, I mean, it is amazing. Like, even though some of these have guys that have had careers, like Linklater, just like Dazed and Confused, he's able to, like, it almost seems like you're seeing them all for the first time.
Absolutely.
With the hair and the mustaches.
Yeah.
I will say I don't know if I've been aware of Zoe Deutsch before. She is like the child of Anna Kendrick and Ellen Page.
Well, doesn't she have a very famous parentage?
Actress Leah Thompson and director Howard Deutsch. Yes.
There you go. So,
music supervisor Murray Deutsch.
One thing that I found really interesting about this film in particular is just the way that, they dress a certain way, but there is kind of a male bonding to a degree that's almost awkward to behold, where these guys have to live in very close quarters and, you know, they're often having sex, you know, next door to each other and things like that. So there's just a level of like homoeroticism that's pretty hilarious to behold. And I can see that throwing some people off. And yet it's because of this light and airy kind of fun nature to it that I think most people can relate to regardless. And it's kind of funny because it's kind of builds back towards that team idea that Jordan was kind of talking about, where, you know, this may not be necessarily a sports movie, but there's definitely a lot of, you know, camaraderie happening where they're just kind of, you know, they understand that them going to a club as a group, if you have one D-bag or one guy that just looks ridiculous, just stay away from that guy, right? they understand that that's going to lower their chances overall. And so, you know, they're kind of looking out for each other.
Again, it's a self-regulating organism. It's a
exactly.
It's a very interesting dynamic they get across in this movie. I will say, I like that this movie doesn't do, like, let's flash forward 10 years and see that, like,
oh, geez.
Some of them are maybe, like, you know, a B team person. Maybe one guy made it, and the rest.
Are you touching on Sandlot? Don't hurt.
No, I have no problem with that in Sandlot. What I'm saying is that, I mean, like the Stand By Me ending where we just randomly find out that a guy got stabbed in the neck and died.
Yeah.
No, I like that. This movie allows you to exist with these people in this breathless moment. And you see that some of them do have that concept. Like, this will probably be the most I play. Like, this is probably as far as I'm going to go. And because I had a friend, I have a friend in Texas. And every Christmas we get together and we drink giant plastic novelty cups full of really good scotch. And we smoke each one really nice cigar. And so obviously, as we're doing this on a porch in the middle of like the barren wasteland surrounding Houston, we get into some serious conversations. And one year he told me, I had just graduated from college and he had graduated like 2 or 3 years before. And he told me, he said, you know, it's great that you graduated with like a good degree and all this other stuff. He's like, you know, when I went to college at A&M, I was on the baseball team. and we were like heroes. And he's like, one time I was drunk off my ass. I was going like 90 miles per hour down the street and a cop pulled me over. And when he found out that I was on the baseball team, he let me go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, didn't even write me up. And he's like, and I just, you know, sometimes I think about like how much that fucked me up. Because I could do whatever the hell I wanted. And he's like, I never like even imposed responsibility upon myself like you did. And I mean, this movie doesn't have to tell you that some of these people are going to fall victim to that, because you just kind of feel it in them. And, you know, people like Finn. Finn is my favorite character, by the way.
They have a moment where they're signing up for classes at the beginning of the semester, and a couple of them, you know, a couple of them are freshmen, and so that's our introduction to the team, and that's our introduction to college is, you know, we follow a couple of key freshmen and their kind of adventures trying to be part of this baseball team. And there's definitely a hierarchy and everything like that, but they go to sign up for classes because everybody has to sign up for classes at the beginning of the semester regardless. And so they're kind of getting advice from some of the, you know, higher up, for, you know, kids, and they're getting some of the worst advice about just sign up for whatever. It doesn't matter. Because anytime
you
got to
figure out
what
you can blow off, what they're the teacher's just going to give you a good grade.
Yeah, well,
it was bad.
And they surround it by basically saying, anytime a girl asks you what you do, all you got to do is just say, I play baseball.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, I can see.
It's like seeing a lit match tossed onto a pile of leaves. You don't have to know that it's going to explode into flames. You can just expect it.
Well,
and I like that it doesn't flash forward to show us the pile of ash that some of these people may eventually wind up in.
It's funny because I follow college sports pretty closely, and football and basketball in particular. It's funny because I'll touch on that a little bit if I remember. But football and basketball players a lot of times end up with this degree in something called sports management, which is just like, you just hear that and you're just like, what the hell is that? What does that even mean? That doesn't mean anything. And it is kind of a nothing degree. It's like a generalization degree, and it's almost setting them up. I guess they take a couple of finance courses if they actually show up for those courses and things like that. And, you know, I guess it's supposed to kind of help them for the future of them being pro athletes and stuff like that, which is like a percentage of the kids even playing college sports to begin with. And it's like, wait, how is it that so many of these kids are graduating with sports management degrees? And I know 90% of them are not going to be pro athletes.
Like, well, I mean, I went to a pretty huge state school. So our sports program was super important to us. I went to the University of Maryland, obviously.
Okay.
And I mean, like, you couldn't even be friends with those fucking people because so much of their time was spent on the field or in practice.
Yeah.
And then they would go out and party. Like, mm-hmm. I would run into one and it would just be like, oh, hey man, like, what's up? And we may have vaguely known each other, but like, it's over for them because their entire life is, if I don't get seen, if I don't get on a professional team, I'm gonna be fucked because I'm not doing any studying here.
Yeah, well, and they've touched on that a little bit. Like Richard Sherman touched on that a couple of Super Bowls ago, where he was basically like, look, like, I show up for morning practice, we do film, we do weightlifting, and then and I go to class for 2 hours, and then I get out, and we have practice, we have to eat, we have to go back in for more film, and then I hopefully study a little bit and go back to sleep. And I do that every single day.
That's the boring version of the sports movie of Everybody Wants Some.
Exactly.
That's what makes this one so great.
Well, right.
And that's what it is. It's like, that's one of the reasons that they party so much, is because that's just another way to build, like, team unity.
Yeah.
I will just say, if you're going to college and you're playing a sport and you're hoping to get drafted, you're basically gambling with your entire life because the amount you have to do to hopefully get picked up is like impermissible to do any actual studying. You're basically saying, I'm just going to destroy my future with a degree in hopes of getting picked up.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, I won't even say it's a noble pursuit. It is a pursuit. Just be very clear-eyed, like Finn, about, you know, what your actual skills are. So that's Everybody Wants Some. That is it for today.
Well, I was going to say quickly, I did not catch this. Did you guys catch there's a post-credit sequence, supposedly?
What?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You saw it? Yeah. Do you want to explain it, Bill? I'm mad I missed it.
It's hard to explain, but, I mean, they're basically doing the Rapper's Delight thing where they basically kind of freestyle, but they add their own name and they talk about themselves. And it's a lot of fun, and it's filmed, like, I guess in between takes and stuff like that, because they're definitely on the set, and you can even see some of the rigging crew and some of the people in the background and stuff like that. So it's definitely,
I guess I'll just have to go see it again.
Yeah,
I know. Oh, what a pain. I gotta go.
It's
almost a wonderful movie again.
It's almost awkward and embarrassing for some of them because, you know, I mean, you take any 5, 6, 7 random people, and some of them are going to be able to kind of, you know, have a little bit of a flow and be able to string some words together, and then some of them are just going to be
How, in addition to being our mustache expert, you're also our freestyle rapping expert. Speaking of, the last question, Bill, as our mustache expert,
mm-hmm.
What do you think is the best mustache and Everybody Wants Some?
Ah, jeez. I have to look at a picture of him.
I would say Finn.
Finn is the one, he's the one that's kind of giving all the sage advice, right?
Yeah, the head of the pack.
Okay, he's definitely, yeah, he had the best situation going on, I would say.
Yeah, all right.
He was rocking it.
Bill, I'm going to want a picture of you and your glorious mustache to put on our Facebook page.
Oh, God.
All right, well, I'll take a picture. For today. Look out on our Facebook page. Maybe Bill will give us a picture of his mustache. next week, we will be talking about The Jungle Book, which I have seen. The review is up now on thefilmstage.com. In the meantime...
You added to the 100% mark on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way.
Oh, I did?
Yeah. So it's 36 reviews in, God, and still 100%.
Can you imagine if I had fucking destroyed that? People would... After the Batman v Superman thing, I'd never work in this town again.
There was a quick aside. So Zootopia was like one or two reviews away from being 100%. And one of my friends, Scott Renshaw, wrote the negative review, one of them. And he got like emails from a 6-year-old like asking, why would you do this?
Oh my God.
It was like their parents.
So much.
Yeah.
So much. Sad. All right. Know. Well, Bill, why don't you tell us where you can be found online?
You can find me at the Film Stage doing interviews. I just posted one with Karen Kusama for The Invitation. And then you can also find me on freshfiction.tv.
All right, Jordan Rapp.
You know where by now. on the baseball field.
On the field.
On the diamond, bro.
Duct taped to a goddamn wall.
Watch out for that scout. He's out there somewhere.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at Brian J. Rowan. You can follow this whole damn show on Twitter at Film Stage Show. And as I said, you can now follow us on Facebook. So check that out. It's going to be a little more loose, a little more crazy.
Woo!
Hopefully y'all enjoy it. So that is it for today. Join us next week when we talk about Jungle Book. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us.